Now on the BBC World Service, Anita Rani presents part two of Bollywood Breaking Barriers. Last week we heard Anita reporting from Mumbai about the changing film industry in India. In this episode, she speaks to British Indians about their love of cinema and asks whether Bollywood needs to broaden its fan base to appeal to non-Indian film cinephiles in order to survive in the future.
So what was the last Bollywood film you saw?
I'm Anita Rani,
and like the Kotecha family, I too was raised on a diet of Bollywood. I thought that most of them were pretty bad, but every so often there was a real gem, and one of my favourites was Qiyamat Se Qiyamat Tak. Classic story of unrequited love. It was essentially Romeo meets Juliet with a great soundtrack. Western audiences have traditionally been put off by Bollywood's three-hour extravaganza and epic dance numbers, but Indian families in the UK revelled in their beauty, glamour, and the roller coaster of emotions that make up a Bollywood film. But a new, younger, slicker kind of film is emerging from Bollywood with snogging, sex, and swearing. It's more Western in its storytelling, not as long, and it dares to remove the beloved song. It's got a growing appeal amongst India's urban cinema goers, but how will it fare with audiences here in the UK and across the film-loving West? Friday night in the Kotecha home in East London, and mum Ruksha and daughter Sunny are preparing the family dinner. Ruksha and her husband Naz came to the UK from India in 1979. Like me, their two grown-up children, Cheyenne and Sunny, have been raised on a mix of old-school Bollywood together with Hollywood films. As a family, they all have monthly passes to the local Cineworld, showing all the Holly and Bollywood releases, though this doesn't necessarily mean they can agree what to watch.
Personally, I prefer Western movie because I like action, I like adventure, I like suspense. English movie, I like those because you get most of those kind of things. In Indian movie?
More romance, right?
More romance, more dumb fighting.
I think Mum likes them. I get a bit bored. I mean, I prefer the newer ones, sort of the ones that spring to mind are like Three Idiots and Deadly Belly, Lagan, maybe.
Lagan was good.
Mum and Dad would be like, oh, let's go see anything and everything. Me, I'll just go and see something there.
Yeah, I can sit down 3 hours nicely, two and a half hours, three hours, you know, I can relax on the chair because I never sit down.
Well, that's the thing, you like to go cinema because at home you're always, you know, checking on the laundry and the dishes and there's always something to do, there's always a distraction, right? And sometimes they'll go see two, three in a row, you know, they'll just sit there for two, three films. Spend
start
all day
at 4
in cinema,
o'clock
yeah.
And finish one, have pizza, go to Pizza Hut and watch another movie.
We watch more and more movies because that's the only entertainment available for us. We don't drink, so except, you know, friends and family visit, there's only one entertainment available for us.
The older generation of British Asians like Naz and Ruksha like films that remind them of the India they left behind 30 years ago. Films with good Indian values they feel comfortable letting their children watch. But their children have grown up in the West. They're used to seeing sex in films, hearing swearing and watching stories that don't always end happily. Hamad Khan is a film examiner at the British Film Certification Board in London. He specialises in certifying Hindi language and Bollywood films for a British Asian audience.
When you're classifying a Bollywood film for the UK audience, do you take into account the Asian audience here or just the British value system, the British certification system? How does it work?
Certainly in terms of the rules, they are the same. So we apply the same set of guidelines. There is only one set of rules, as it were. Where there's a bit more room for manoeuvre are things like, for example, what we like to call Disham violence. The Disham is the kind of brand of Bollywood that, you know, I grew up with as a kid, watching, you know, heroes fight each other, Amitabh Bachchan knocking it, you know, the socks off others. We understand that there is a bit of room for that kind of violence. So there may be cases where it's part of the genre. It could get a PG or a 12A, whereas in a different context, possibly in a Hollywood film, it may be a bit more on the borderline.
How have you seen, in your role here, watching movies for a living, what kind of things are you seeing that are changing?
I mean, there's certainly more more of a Western or globalized approach to the films. There is less of the kind of family values that we always used to get. Now we have more sex, and slightly more savvier and sharper language. You know, so there's more bad language. Films like Delhi Belly from last year, a very alternative kind of film from India. The Dirty Picture was another film which was far more sort of visually explicit than most Bollywood films. So yeah, I think that there is a change. There is more of a relaxing of the old barriers, but I think audiences are changing as well.
Hello?
Managing, you hack.
Hello?
You blot on every bong art director in the business. I quit, you talentless whore, you dog.
I really liked Delhi Belly. I thought it was the best film I'd seen. It was in my top three of all the films I saw last year.
Delhi Belly, I didn't like it.
I think the language.
First of all, you know, Delhi Belly is film, it's for the youngster, it's not for the family. And if you're going as family to watch that movie, you know, you'll find lots of vulgarity, which as a family, I wouldn't prefer to, you know, sit with my wife and my daughter and my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law. You know, it's like, you know, breaking the barrier. In the Western movie, that is accepted. I mean, I've been living in this country since 1980, and I see the kids growing up here, English kids and Indian kids. I mean, the English kids who come to my business, and they swear like anything. Each and every sentence, they have F word.
But why double standards? Why is it okay for Western movies and not Indian movies? I don't understand what the difference is.
It's a difference in culture.
I mean, the fact that Delhi Belly had swearing in it made it, for me, more relevant and more real.
Because you've grown up in that kind of culture. Or something,
but you've got
like
to understand that they're trying to attract a younger audience.
The market for Bollywood film in countries like the UK is huge. In 2008, $212 million, that's nearly 10% of Bollywood's fortune, was made outside of India. Sitting on the cream leather seats of Eros's private viewing cinema in London's fashionable Marylebone, Eros's president of marketing and distribution, Pranab Kapadia, told me about how the 30-year-old company evolved.
See, the Indian diaspora was always scattered around the world. And for economic growth and for other reasons, people started moving out of India, and then they set up homes in the UK and the US and the Middle East. So there were these pockets, and of course the need to get entertained and consume Hindi films. It's a cultural thing. It's part of growing up. Everybody watches a film. But there was no legitimate way for them to see it. And back then our chairman sensed the opportunity, and films were exported out of India and then they were released. So in the mid-90s, Bollywood films started getting into multiplexes, and the audiences found that, you know, hey, this is our moment of pride, because our films are now being showcased in a nice, you know, multiplex. And the experience really was amazing.
How did that change the Bollywood industry?
Back then, the revenue for the producer from an overseas market was very, very minuscule. They didn't even know the extent of the market. But then slowly, with multiplexes coming in, the numbers started getting recorded, and then there was more awareness amongst the people who were making films about the extent of their reach and popularity through the numbers that were reflected from the distributor. And then they started taking this market seriously, and because it's now a very, very big pie.
There's a new wave of Indian filmmaker. Really exciting things are happening in the Indian film industry. The films that Aamir Khan's producing, things like Delhi Belly, Dhobi Ghat. Then you've got new directors like Anurag Kashyap, Dibakar Banerjee. How will those films get viewed by a UK or diaspora audience? Or are they not interested in those movies?
I think it's yet to catch up and come to that level. In the international market, still the Indian diaspora, the Asian diaspora, is seeking to watch a film with a big name. So talking about the filmmakers, yes, that you mentioned, yes, Gangs of Wasseypur is a great film, but it's not released here in the UK. Even Dibakar's film Shanghai didn't release here in the UK.
The UK distributors won't pick up the smaller budget films because they don't have the stars or the songs. Distributors are aware that the average price of a cinema ticket in India is 25 rupees. That's about 30 pence, compared to the UK standard of around £6. This means a film screened in the UK can make a big profit on a relatively small audience. So filmmakers now produce movies that appeal to the sensibilities of Indians brought up in the West. They may not realise it, but the Katechas, with their monthly Cineworld passes, are a big influence on the films now coming out of Bollywood. I'm Anita Rani, and you're listening to Bollywood Breaking Barriers on the BBC World Service. Cocktail is the latest film to be backed by Eros. It's a story about a love triangle between two young women and one man. It's set in London and it's aimed squarely at Indians living outside India. In Eros's plush private cinema, I sat in on the Cocktail press conference and threw questions at its producer and main star, Saif Ali Khan. Was it made with a Western audience in mind? Because a lot of it's shot in London, it's certainly very modern. Were you aiming this at the Indian diaspora?
You know, I think given the kind of approach we have to the films we like and the films we like to make, there's a certain space that we are comfortable in. One of the spaces we're most comfortable in is a kind of love story, but in perhaps the most, a slightly sophisticated love story or something that perhaps a multiplex audience in India or an NRI audience in America and England would perhaps appreciate more than the smaller centres in India. That we always hope that apart from those two or three main areas of interest, the film could connect to parts of rural India as well. But we're okay without that happening as well, because we're budgeted accordingly and we know what our target audience is. It seems to be in our country, it's difficult to make a film that crosses over both class and mental boundaries. That's the challenge. Some films do.
Because the audience, the Western audience and the audience in India who go to the multiplexes, who live in the metro cities, are also consuming a lot of Western films.
Yeah.
When will we see a Bollywood film cross over and truly become a global
film? I don't know if that's ever going to be possible or whether that's ever necessary. The reason the Indian is different to the English person is because they're hugely different in their upbringing and their cultural background is completely different. The kind of people there are different, and I think bless that, because I like being Indian and living in India, and I understand that culture, and I feel you have the numbers in India. You've got crores and crores of people to try and reach. So why are you trying to reach, you know, 25 million Europeans? I mean, there's no need. You have to tailor it for the audience that you're making it for. An Indian will like a different movie to an English person. They don't understand. Mm. They don't understand why you would want to sing a song in the middle of a scene, whereas you lose half your audience in India if you don't have songs. So you've got to know who you're making the film for.
But some big Hollywood studios disagree. They've seen the potential in reaching out to a pan-Indian audience and a Western audience at the same time, and they're trying to find the perfect recipe for a universally loved film made with Bollywood ingredients. With ticket sales in India expected to grow to $3 billion by 2013, Bollywood has caught the eye of Hollywood. Disney, Warner Brothers and 20th Century Fox have set up offices in Mumbai desperate for a slice of this revenue. In London's Soho Square, the heart of film production and distribution in the UK, I met Andrew Turner, UK Director of Sales at 20th Century Fox. In 2010, 20th Century Fox backed the Bollywood film My Name is Khan. It was loved by audiences within India, outside of India, and appealed to non-Indian audiences as well. But My Name is Khan was not a stereotypical Bollywood film.
But I have my own message to give to him first.
Oh, yeah? What is that? You know where Osama is?
Oh, no. This is not my message. I don't know, no.
What is your message, Mr. Khan?
I have to say to him, my name is Khan, and I'm not a terrorist.
We wanted to get into Bollywood. We recognised there was a real potential for a studio to start making movies, distributing them in India, but more importantly, to offer their services for the international marketplace as well, which is, as we all know, massively expanding in the last few years. A lot of studios were looking into getting into Bollywood because it was grossing close to £16 million a year. You know, you can't ignore that. They're also relatively cheaper to produce, cheaper to distribute, so the model seemed to be perfect for any studio to get into. So I don't think we're the first studio to try, but we were the first studio to succeed in an acquisition on something of the scale as My Name is Khan, to be able to give that opportunity to just push it above everyone else. When you're going into any new venture, clearly there are certain names that surface, and I was very lucky actually to be a part of this acquisition, and of course Shah Rukh Khan. It's the one name. Even if you don't know Bollywood, you know who Shah Rukh Khan is in the UK because he's such an icon.
Different Minds naam ki kitab mein likha hai ki hum jaise log apne jazbaat ko zubaan nahi de sakte, lekin aasani se likh sakte hain.
My Name Is Khan surpassed everyone's expectations. It went on to be one of the most commercially successful Bollywood films ever, grossing nearly as much as Avatar in India.
What's next then? Because My Name Is Khan came out quite a long time ago.
Yeah, 2009, yeah.
Why haven't we seen you backing a film since then?
Well, we've backed films, but they've been specifically catering for a very specific Bollywood audience. Part of the frustration has been that, as a business, we've been making movies primarily for the Indian market. So the action films like Dum Mara Dum or Force, and they've done okay in India, but that's not what the UK audiences have wanted. There's nothing on the horizon that looks incredibly obvious to the point where we could cross it over again. But you kind of get one every several years that might break out.
Bollywood regularly churns out an average of 3 Hindi language films a week, but nothing since My Name Is Khan has convinced Andrew Turner that it's worth his company distributing outside conventional Bollywood audiences. But there are those within the film industry who believe that Bollywood's age has arrived. Boundaries are collapsing, and it's time for the West to truly appreciate the magic of Made in India. With all this talk of money and crossover appeal, they argue what's been forgotten is the purity of a concept that's been going for 100 years and a style of storytelling that's timeless.
Hi, Anita.
Hey, Baz, how are you?
Oh, I can't answer that honestly. You know, I'm in the middle of post-production on a film, so I could say, oh, I'm fantastic. Which I mean, you know, I think the work's going very solidly and...
Taking time out from putting the final finishing touches to the hotly anticipated Great Gatsby, director Baz Luhrmann told me about his love of Bollywood. Baz's Damascene conversion began in a cinema in Mumbai.
We were there, we had no intention of going and seeing, you know, particularly a Bollywood movie, but one night we followed a crowd into this ice cream palace of a cinema. We were the only Western folk there, and there were no subtitles, you know. And honestly, we were like, well, this will be interesting for 10 minutes. It went on for 3 hours. There was murder, there was drama, there was comedy, there were songs. And 3 hours later, we, in community with everyone else in that cinema, walked out into the warm night air feeling uplifted and completely transported. And yet, we couldn't really understand a word that was being said. But the storytelling was so strong. And I think the kind of communal aspect of it really brushed away a lot of pretentious cobwebs I had about what constitutes, you know, serious storytelling. So that influence, that night, that experience of Bollywood in that moment began a sort of growing interest of mine. And I was really opening my heart and I think my own creative journey to the idea that, you know, the Western notion that a comedy should be a comedy or that a drama should be a drama or a musical should be a musical, you know, whereas a Bollywood film, in my definition, it can be drama, comedy, and musical all in one piece. And that was a transition in my thinking.
Indeed it was. It led to Romeo and Juliet and the heavily Bollywood-influenced film Moulin Rouge. And in the forthcoming Great Gatsby, released at the end of December, Baz is using an actor better known for his starring roles in Bollywood films like Gubby Cushy Gubby Gum and Sholay, Amitabh Bachchan.
You know, there's an entire universe that knows Amitabh Bachchan like the West knows Marlon Brando. And I think there's a lot of audience in the West who are going to go, oh, who's that remarkable actor and why am I not as aware of him? You know, it's these cross-fertilizations that take place. Any director from any culture and any actor from any culture will, in their hearts, seek to touch and reach the widest audience possible. And if you touch enough people, and through time and across geography, then you've made something classic.
And many classic films are influenced by Bollywood.
Titanic was a Bollywood film with all those emotions and tear-jerking elements all thrown in.
Gidda Mitha is a hugely influential Bollywood director, known for his challenging work from the 80s with groundbreaking films such as Bhavni Bhavai and Sardar.
Avatar has derived so much from Indian mythology. Those blue characters created are straight out of Ramayana, Indian epic, you know. I think these boundaries are actually collapsing. People are exposed to each other's cultures and societies and are interested in each other like never before. I believe that cinema was the starting point of globalization. It was not a steamship or an aeroplane, it was cinema.
There will always be an audience for classic Bollywood, but as young Indian filmmakers become more ambitious, we will be sure to see more movies coming from Bollywood that break with tradition. But for a chance to compete on the world cinema stage, the new wave of Indian directors will need to find their own stories and not merely imitate what they see in the West. In India's 100th year of cinema, it's time for Bollywood to grow new branches that reach out to new audiences, but its roots must remain Indian. But as director Dibakar Banerjee tells me over breakfast in his offices in South Mumbai, we in the West have our own part to play in accepting this emerging Indian cinema.
We live in a world, certainly growing up in the West, where Chinese directors are making films on their own terms and are watched globally. Korean directors are doing the same, Japanese directors. When will that happen with an Indian director? When will we see your films? You know, where I might go to a pub and a white guy might go, oh, have you seen that new film by that Indian guy, Dibakar Banerjee? When will that happen? Or do you have the baggage of Bollywood weighing you down?
First reason, when I'm good enough. If you give it time, your work speaks for itself. The second way to sort of, you know, get our films abroad would be to stop caring about it and just start caring about whether our films are being able to handle our lives and make some sense of our sense of the human condition to ourselves. When that happens, it travels. The third is when cinephile audiences and festival curators stop expecting picture postcards from India and try and see Indians as people as anywhere else in the world without any exotic rope trick elephant driver, because the Japanese and the Korean films that are, you know, making their way to the West today are really not about samurai cutting each other's to bits. It's about normal Joe, the average Joe on the Japanese and the Korean street, actually making his way through life. And if it's told simply or universally or well enough, it gets to you.
I'm Anita Rani, and Bollywood Breaking Barriers was produced by Gemma Newby. It was a Spark Lab production for the BBC World Service.